Father, we thank you again for words that are written around the very truth of God. Words that have been written about, not only can we read and understand, but Lord, put in music and bless our hearts as we sing those words along with quoting them. And I pray again you bless us this morning as we open this precious book, the Word of God. Holy Spirit, may the study be that which in turn to pass to others. May this not be a time, but waste our time. Lord, because time is too valuable for that. The greatest commodity we have is time. Money can't buy it. Money can't add another minute, another hour to our time. It's appointed a man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. So help us today as we look at this precious book, your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much. Take your Bible, if you will, and turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. The Gospel of John in chapter 1. I started a series leading to Christmas, but a four-part series on subjects leading to Christmas of Christ being born. The first Sunday we looked at, two Sundays ago, what is truth? Last Sunday we looked at our relationship with God. Today I want to look at the subject, this Christmas, the Word of God becoming a human being in the flesh. The Word of God becoming a human being in the flesh. In John chapter 1, we read verses 1 through 14, and this we know many times. You say, well, why in the world would you use a verse like, well, you listen to me this morning, and you'll see why as we lead into next Sunday morning, the Christmas message. It says it this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I love to read that because it gives a mouthful, a knowledgeable full of understanding. We know this, the Word was, said in the beginning, was the Word. And then it said the Word was with God. That is, that being with God, it meant that it was a companion or to accompany God. Not only was it God himself, but also this Word accompanied God. And then notice he said, and the Word was God. And then he said the same was in the beginning with God. And then he tells us all things were made by him. By who? By this word. Hear it? Get it, folks. It'll be a blessing to you. By this word. Well, this word describes a lot about who our Lord Jesus Christ is. He said all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. I don't think you can get any clearer than that. All things were made by him. And just in case you think there's some things made that was not made by him, he tells it both ways, doesn't he? All things were made by him, and he said, was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Then he said, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now he's fixing to show the comparison of the two, and this one who's given this message is not the man he's talking about, but he talks about himself being sent of God. And he said, the same came for a witness to bear witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And I like verse 7 because it helps understand verse 9. He says that he was sent to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might be saved. Notice, he came to bear witness of the light, who is the Word, who is Jesus Christ, that all men might be saved. See that? See it? Get it now. All men might be saved. Didn't say all men would be saved. But all men might be saved. Now look in verse 9. Then he said, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now isn't it amazing? Some people use that verse and say, well, that means in the end everybody's going to get saved anyhow. No, they're not. No, they're not. The scripture is very plain. Every man has the potential to be saved. And Jesus Christ is the light that brings the life of God. And then he said, he was in the world, and the world was made by him. There it is again. And the world knew him not. God was in the world, manifested in human flesh, made by him, and yet the world that he made, and talking about human beings here, because they're the ones who can make any sense anyhow, and using conversation and using words, it said that the world knew him not. Then he said he came to his own received him not. We know that's the nation of Israel. And then he gives us these wonderful words, but as many as receive him. There again, it helps me understand. If I see what I'm talking about here in verse 7 and verse 9, and then if I didn't get the fact that a person had to do something to receive Christ as Savior, I get it now because he tells us that. He came to his own, they received him not, but as many as receive him, to them that he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Read it again. To them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Then he says, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And then he says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of as of the only begotten of the Father, and full of grace and truth. As we come to the subject this morning, Christmas, the Word of God becoming a human being in the flesh. As we think about this Word, I read a story, I don't know whether it was true or not true, it could have been, I guess, that where there was a college young fellow who was coming up for an exam around Christmas time, just a few days before Christmas, and had to do on the economics. And, of course, Christmas time takes a lot of people away from major things anyhow, except what they want to do. And he didn't study like he should, and he didn't get too good studying, and really lived it up a little bit like people do at Christmas time. He took the exam, and when he took the exam, he didn't hardly know any of the questions at all that was asked on the exam. And so he thought he'd be smart, and he put down on the paper, he didn't answer one of them. He wrote on the paper something like this. He said, only God knows the answer to these questions. Merry Christmas, and handed it in. He was trying to be kind of smart. Well, the professor was smarter than he was. And the professor looked at it, and he said, I can't believe you did that. And he wrote down on paper, he said this, well then, God gets 100, you get 0. Happy New Year. I like that, don't you? I like that. Amen? Well, I'm grateful to understand what Christmas is, aren't you? Aren't you glad of that? All this mess said about Christmas, I'm grateful to understand what it is. You may have heard that person that said that the pastor at Easter time had his house full, packed people, walls. I mean, didn't have no seating capacity anywhere or another. He got ready to preach his Easter service. And he stood up and he said to the county, I'm so glad that you're here today. You really blessed my heart coming and filling this place up. But I have a little something I'd like to know. And knowing that many of you won't be back to next Easter, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas right now. Amen. Well, Christmas, the word of God becoming a person, becoming a human being. When you look at this word, it's the word logos. And this is the Greek word, which means a collection of things in the mind and the spoken sound. Or written words, or written letters, I should say, that makes up words, that reveals the mind. And so we communicate what is in our mind by finding a way to relate those thoughts to others. I can't read your thoughts, you can't read my thoughts, but I read your thoughts as you perform words. You can speak to me, or you can write to me, or you can send me, don't send me a text, I don't text, but I'm saying. But what I'm saying is we communicate with words. We would never know what's on each other's mind unless we had words. And so that gives us a little understanding as we look about what God's doing. So we speak, we write, we use movements, we use sign language, and our thoughts are brought out to the open so others can know what we are thinking and what we want to get across. So when you come to Christmas, Christmas is an example of the most wonderful way that God has to give us about him. And in this, he gives us what is called his word. And he explains this in John chapter 1. The living word is revealed by the written word. And because Christ is set forth here as the Logos, because he is the very image of who God is in flesh. He told the disciples once, if you see me, you've seen the Father. So what he said, the express image that he has himself, is who he is and can be understood that particular way. His incarnation was the expression of God himself, for he would be God in the flesh. His thoughts, it brought about deity in a way that we could understand. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, there wasn't much seen about the child being God as a baby except what God told the shepherds to tell and what others came to see him. But when he got to be 33 years old, he showed his deity, even though he was a human being. God never lost his deity. He always was God in the flesh, even though he was also man. We're in a parting place you don't know, and I don't know either. So in the being itself, the work of Christ's deity is shown in this world as he grows up as a babe and comes into adulthood about 33 and a half years before he died. So Christmas, to the world, is an example to a lot of different ways other than the child of God. Christmas is an example of the most wonderful way that God made his thoughts be known to mankind. For us today, in this world. The child of God, Christmas is shepherds, and it's wise men, and Mary, and Joseph, and angels. To the world, though, it's opposite. Christmas is Christmas trees, and decorations, and Santa, and the reindeers, and carols, and presents, and cards, and a host of many other things. And yet, Jesus Christ himself is the dominant person in Christmas for the child of God. Without Jesus Christ, we have no Christmas. This world has a holiday, maybe. They call it that. I'm glad I've got more than a holiday. I've got a day I can know for a fact that God has promised. You say, well, it may not be the exact day. It's all right for me until God shows us the exact day. Because there was a day, and he was born in flesh. And I thank God for that. However, Christ is the dominating factor of the of character at Christmas time, because he is what Christmas is all about. He is the way, the very center of all things. He's the person, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is Jesus saving his people from his sin, Christ the anointed one that was set forth in the Old Testament. He was the only begotten Son of God. Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, now let's look at what he says about this in these few verses. It amazes me. When I began to look in the Gospel of John, John, in the first chapter of his Gospel, presents the Lord Jesus Christ in seven wonderful ways. He calls him first in John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3 and 14, he is the Word of God. Not only is he the Word of God, he was the Word with God. He's everything that God says about himself, and he is God himself in the flesh here. Now, you try to explain that, and, you know, it's unexplainable. We had to get to heaven before we could even understand to start with. Though you have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, you have those in deity. You have those, ladies and gentlemen, in the sense of essence, but when you come to function, they separate. What is this separation? Not separation in deity, but in function. You have God the Father, God the Son, and that's exactly who it is. God is God the Father, God is God the Son, and the Holy Spirit has equal to deity that these other two have. But their function is entirely different. And that's what this wonderful book is doing. It's telling us how they function. Not only tell us that it exists, but he tells us how to function. And that's the reason you have to have the Holy Spirit of God, because you'll not understand his essence and how he functions without the Holy Spirit helping us. This world can never get it. You know why? Because you and I can't get it like we'd like to get it. Even though we believe it, sometimes we wonder, Lord, just how does it work? And we have a lot of elements in this world, you know. You talk about water, and you talk about water and ice and steam. It's all water, but it's in different functions, isn't it? So I understand that when I look at what God is telling me, he's revealing the best way he knows how is he leaves the portals of glory in the spiritual world and comes in the time to reveal to us who he is. He's trying his best to use as much as he can because we just can't get it like he really is. We're going to have to believe it because he's willing to show us by faith, gives us substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen that the world can't understand at all. So I see he is the Word in chapter 1, verse 1 through 3 and verse 14. He is the light in chapter 1, verse 4 through 13. He is the Son of God as he reveals himself in verse 15 through 18, as that there is not called that at that time. But in chapter verse 34, John calls him the Son of God. God, behold, this, the Lamb of God that take away the sin of the world. But in verse 34, he said, I saw and have record that this is the Son of God. In verse 49, Nathanael said, thou art the Son of God. So seven people, and I won't go through every verse right now, but seven people in the Gospel of John called Jesus Christ the Son of God. John the Baptist, Nathanael, Peter, the healed blind man, Martha, Thomas, and John. All seven called him the Son of God at different times, different places, and yet believed that from the depth of their soul. In chapter 1, verse 19 to 18, he is the Christ. Verse 35 through 42, he is the Christ. He is the Lamb of God in verse 29, in verse 36. He is the Son of Man in verse 51 of chapter 1. What am I saying to you that Jesus is the God connector? Jesus is the God ladder between heaven and earth. Jesus is the one that's revealing those, the Holy Spirit's in his place now, revealing to us that who God is to man and how that man can get to God. He's revealing that by his Holy Spirit through his word that's been written. So what a unique person Jesus Christ is. These people who mock him, these people who say what they say, these people who say that we're not to pray in his name, they're fools. because he is a new person. There's never been anyone like him before. There'll never be anyone like him in the future as the Son of God. Now, we are sons of God, but we have never been just what he is. He's made us what we are when we get to heaven, that new creation in that glorified body. So what a unique person he is, who could create this world, who could give salvation to men, who could reveal God and baptize with the Holy Spirit, and every knee shall bow before him one day. He can forgive sin and open the way to heaven, him being the way himself. And of course, he's the way, he's the direction to get to God. He's the truth, he's the knowledge to get to God. He's also the life, he's the existence of God. He's the very power of God, far as living is concerned. In Jesus Christ is everything we need to know about God. Until we get there, can see God the Father really just like he is. And I thank God for that. And so I look here now in verse 1. Notice with me, he says, in the beginning was the Word, verse 1. The Word represents thought, mind, intelligence, existence, heart. It's more than sounds or letters. It has meaning to them. The Word exists before Adam. The Word exists before, because the Word always exists because the Word is God. In the past, in the future. So in the first verse, you say, well, I wish he'd explain it better. Ladies and gentlemen, he can't explain it no better to us in this body than just say, in the beginning was the Word. Believe that or not. Amen? You know, it's obvious that we have to believe some things of what God says if we're going to believe anything about what he's doing in this life. The Word exists for Adam. Word is composed of letters, and letters represent thought, and mind, and heart, and intelligence, and thought. The Bible is the written Word of God. What does it do? It reveals the living Word of God. I notice also number two, the Word was with God, verse 1 and the first verse. The Word that was from the beginning was in company with Almighty God. God and the Word had been together always, for there was no beginning with or for God. They've always been together. God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit have always been together, though they were one. So I can't understand that. Well, let me ask you this. How do you understand that you're spirit, soul, and body, and yet you're one? That's the nearest you and I can get to it. Your body is not you. That body is housing who you are. So I don't believe that, preacher. When the heart quits, then you die. Yeah, but that soul and spirit goes somewhere else other than to the grave with you. Only the body goes back to the dust. So I tell you, if you really want to try to understand it, you try to explain yourself. You can't explain yourself how you can be spirit, soul. You know they're there, and God tells us how they work, but it's still a mystery. It's somehow or another just how it works. We can't have connection with God without the spirit. We certainly don't have life without the soul, and the spirit and soul is not floating around here like some spooky thing. It's in a body you can see that manifests as light. And so I see the Word was with God. God and the Word had been together always, down through the ages, because they exist forever. Number 3, verse 1 also says it, that the Word was God. So in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What do you mean, preacher? I don't know, except he's telling us that the Word was God, not just in the presence of God. He wasn't just familiar with God, but he's always been Almighty God himself. But all three are one. Amen. You see? That's the reason some people say, well, that'd be the case. They may have some trouble. We have trouble in this old body of the flesh, so forth, but God, the Father, and the Son don't ever have any trouble. They agree as one. I don't care where one says one thing, they always agree. There's never any disagreement with the Trinity. Never disagreed at all. So I'm looking at this thing. Then I have chapter 1, as I look at these few verses of Scripture. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, notice, if you will, in verse 3, he says, all things were made by him. The Word. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Who are we talking about? I'm talking about that little baby that was born 2,000 years ago was the Word of God. But he's also God. Everything God was is he. Everything we see about him in head, flesh, God has said, that's what we look like when I come in flesh. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Word spake and created all things. Psalm 33, verse 9 said, for he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. He said, let there be what? Light, and there was light. Let there be water, and there was water. Let the water bring forth creatures, and it did so. Let the earth bring forth creatures, and it did so. Nothing exists that was not created by the Word. That's what this verse is telling us. Now, you and I know the Word, who it is. It's God. We know that God the Son and God the Holy Spirit were equal to each other. Psalms 33, verse 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. So all things were made by him and by who was the Word. Fifth thing I want you to notice. Notice it says in verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The Word gave life to all those things that were created. And then he made man from the dust of the ground and blew into him the breath of life, which is the breath of God. And in turn, he became a living soul. Number 6, I want you to notice verse 14. Not only was the beginning the Word, in the beginning was the Word, was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Not only was all things made by him, in verse 3, not only was he life in the light of men, verse 4, but in verse 14 it says simply this, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us and beheld his glory and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Isn't it amazing? There's no way in the world you can study this without realizing that Word is Jesus Christ. There's no way possible. Say, he only called him Jesus Christ. No, he called him just exactly what God said he should be called so we could understand he's everything that God wants us to know about God. Study him. Then people are trying to do away with him because they're worshiping a false God. That's exactly right. Do away with Jesus Christ and you have a false God. Because he's the only one who can show us who the true and living God is. And God proved that in the Scriptures, all for every last one of us. The Word, which represents the mind, intelligence, existence, and heart of God, became human flesh, a living little baby born in a mother's womb, which came to dressing room for him to have a body like you and I, as far as flesh, yet without sin. He was a God, became a baby, a visible, knowable, touchable baby. He had to be handled by his mother just like you and I were. The fact that God looked after him, but ladies and gentlemen, when Jesus was a baby, he was a baby. He had to be taken care of. Boy, you got something. Let me tell you something. If you knew how bad people are like God did, you wouldn't let your child be taken care of, a little baby like that. And yet God picked, I think, the best he had in the land. That was Joseph and Mary. And Mary was the best lady. You say, well, why do you say that? Because if it was not, he'd have got another one. I think she's the best that they had. And she would be what God needed for his son to be developed in this life. And I thank God when I see that. The human being was promised to Mary by the angel Gabriel in Luke 1. The human being born in Bethlehem in a stable in Luke 2:7. This human being was Jesus Christ. That's his earthly name. The human being the angels came to tell the shepherds about in Luke 2, verse 8 through 12. The human being the wise men came 2 years later to worship. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, they came to see the Word that was in flesh. They knew that he had been promised in the Old Testament. They knew whatever took place in the sky, those wise men did. They knew what the shepherds saw when those angels came telling them about that baby being born in Luke chapter 2. So he was, again, it was the Word was with God, the Word was God. All things were made by him. Verse 4, in him was life. Verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwell among us. Isn't that amazing? The Word, isn't it amazing? Think about Word being, it was made flesh and dwell among us. Everything that God was in that body because he was God. Everything that he would say would come from God because he was God. And then the last thing I want you to notice, he came into his own. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm so glad that the Lord has left to me even more so. Yes, he came to save his people from their sin, but his people were Jews. They were the nation of Israel. Yes, he came forth. But thank God in the book of Acts, he shows us that God not only sent him to the world in John 3, he said that in 16, but we see there came a time that he presented himself to the Jews in the book of Acts, and then you come a little ways in the book of Acts, and finally says that you don't find yourself worthy to accept him, so they turned to the Gentiles. Aren't you glad? Because that included us. So Jesus, when he came in the age of grace, included Jew and Gentile, which is every human being that ever lives, has an opportunity to trust this child who is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He came to his own. The Word became flesh to reveal God's intelligence and heart of God. It became flesh to offer eternal life to men and women, making them, hear me, children of God. ladies and gentlemen, listen, you don't see that turn in the Old Testament. You find Israel, the apple of God's eye, as a nation. But only can you be a child of God when you're born into the family. You can't be a child of the human race unless you're born into the family. And you can't be a child of ever what your last name is unless you're born in that family or adopted in that family legally. You can't be a child of God unless you're born in there either. And that's why John 3 said you have to be born again. The Word became flesh. And as I look at this, it came flesh off of this eternal life through Jesus Christ in the new birth. And that's what we see in John chapter 3, verse 3 through 7. And Jesus ended up saying, Mama, I'm not saying you must be born again. That which is of the flesh is flesh, and that which is the spirit is spirit. So when I think about Christmas, the Word of God becoming a human being, and next Sunday we commemorate that, Christmas is about how God cares about us as human beings. You know that, folks? Did you know, listen, Christ coming to this earth and being treated like he was is not the way God is treated in heaven. He must have cared for us more than we can even think of. For his son to come and be treated like he was treated, worse than they treat the worst person in this world, and yet he died to him and have life. Cursed about God become one of us in order to bring us to himself. Not only did he love us, but he was willing to come, leave the palace of the glory, where around the throne of God, angels are created for no other person, no other reason but to cry, glory to God in the highest, praise be unto his name, hallelujah, all those things that give God credit, that was their job, day in and day out, though we didn't have that in it before he made time, but all the time in the present they were doing that and never got tired of it. Amen. Isn't that amazing? And yet he left, Jesus said, that atmosphere to come to this earth. Because he loved us. He paid the sin debt because he loved us. I'm talking about this little baby that was born at Christmas time. Jesus Christ is the visible, touchable, knowable Word of God. The greatest gift one can ever receive is, listen to me, the one from Almighty God. Eternal life and adoption into God's family through the Word. That's the reason this is so important to understand. That Word was Jesus Christ. That Word was the only begotten Son of God. The greatest gift one can ever give, you and I who have this life, the greatest gift we can give in this life is to tell the real Christmas story to everyone we get a chance to, what Christmas really means to us and what it's about. And you know what? Sometimes we can do it in an humble way. I know it riles you up with a spiritual resistance because to hear something said about our Lord. But you know, God would have us to understand. The world don't understand who we are and what we're doing. But they do understand kindness. Most of the time we find ourselves being filled with angry, don't we? Because I call it a spiritual anger for the Lord. It's realized in trying to take a defense for him when they ridicule him and make him something he's not. And yet, we don't have the power to do that. We only have words. Right here. And I've asked a lot more in my latter days. Help me learn the words to say and say them in a calm little way. In a calm, simple way. And Holy Spirit, I believe you can take those words and do something after I'm gone if I have a chance to just read that. And a lot of times, more so now, I witness and I give the word out if I get a chance. And then if I see no side there, then I back off and say I have prayer with them. And I've got too many false professions. And by the way, if you've been winning souls, you have too. That's right. And I thank God Almighty, there's more to this thing than a false profession. There is a possession, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And this word will draw that. Holy Spirit, I cannot do what the Holy Spirit does. But I'd be the vessel for God to use to give the word out. And I believe that word is powerful. Hit a deal with somebody when we're gone. God can bring, if I can plant that seed, God can bring that up 2 months from now or 2 years from now. This coming Wednesday night, I'm going to give a story of what happened in this church in our bus ministry. A young lady that was saved, 6-year-old, where she's at today, got a letter from this week, most blessed letter. She wrote a book now, and we'll mention in that book our church is. God can take a word and recess it and bring it up 50 years from now and do some mighty things with it. And that's what you've got to do. You've got to give credit to God. He's got to do it. It can't be done. And I can't quit because I'm giving him credit because he deserves everything. He deserves everything. And I thank him for what I see and what little I see. So the greatest gift is ourselves. That little baby lying in the manger is the Word of God in flesh. His name was Jesus. Christmas, the visible love of God for you and me. Christmas is for the faith, for the world, the love of God for the world. And I thought about this as I closed, as I studied this chapter and these verses. The church has a responsibility to get this good news out in our time. You know, God has given us our days is in time right now. Soon we'll be gone. I think about people already, and what a blessing it is this morning. When I think about through the years, God has given us so many souls in the last 3 or 4 years. Some of the people who've been with us 35 and 40 years are going to be with the Lord. Every person that's in time, God's got a responsibility, if you're saved, responsibility to get this word out. He gave the commission to the church. He gave to the apostles first, and he said, teach them, and from there the church has this. The good news, we're to give it out in this day or time. Every baby born in flesh gets attention. Would you not say that today? First of all, the parents. Man. Then the grandparents. You ever been to a baby ward when they had the curtains back? Especially got 4 or 5 in there. There'd be 2 or 3 people deep sometime trying to look in there. You ever seen that? Now they got so many of them that you look and they say, hey, where's that? That's him over there. Look at that. Look at it. And they'll be looking at one. They'll look at all of them because all of them look good. I never seen a baby born that looked bad. I've seen their head a little bit messed up, but it got round out pretty good. Amen. What I'm saying, babies are pretty. Well, here, but you know what? Listen, as far as it goes, is the parent and grandparents and maybe a few friends about children until they get into the world. And then they may have other friends. But this little baby, ladies and gentlemen, I want to hear you. This baby, the Son of God, was not only his parents and any grandparents later, but angels, the very night he was born, came and went to the shepherds and announced that he had been born, the Son of God. Not only did he do that, but you see others. The wise men, 2 years later, made a long trip to find this baby that was born. Not only that, 2,000 years later, look at us. We've been born into the family of God if you're saved. Amen. Look what he did. Amen. I'm talking about it. The baby looking at the angel looks like, and I told you the other night, it looks like, what can he do? Everything God said he could. Why? He's the Word. Amen. He's the Word of God. There's nothing he can't do. Man, if he can speak walls into existence, surely there's nothing else he can do. This little baby, human race now 2,000 years later in time, is hearing about him, celebrating his birthday. And every time a little child was born physically, sooner or later, it used to be in the South, every one of them before they grew up heard about him. Now I think the world is getting less and less hearing about him because Satan is trying his best to shut him down. The human race will become the children of God through the words, about the Word, Jesus Christ. And John, may I read to you again, 1 verse 12 and 13 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to come, the sons of God, even to them that believe upon his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Now those three words, but of God, is something that you have to insert into physical life. Because nowhere else can he be born like human beings have been born without God. Because he tells us here, but of God. It was by the will of God. And it's so wonderful to see how God gave the incorruptible seed from him in Mary's womb. Cut off man. And that little baby was the absolute pure, precious, begotten Son of God. And because of him, you and I have the privilege to be called sons of God. If you're not saved here this morning, listen to my radio or Ustream. You have the privilege. You have the privilege. God has let you live in time for the privilege to understand He's just not done this and left it and let it go to Bolivia to nothing. He's in charge. And His message about the Word, which is God incarnated in the flesh, is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in essence are the same. Yet, this way, I guess, equal, they're the same. In essence, they're the same. But in function, God the Father, God the Son. That's why Christ on this earth, He prayed to God the Father. And that's the reason He said, I got to go back so the Spirit can come. Why? Because you can only talk with me outside when I'm with you. But when the Holy Spirit comes, they didn't know it, but the Holy Spirit comes, He's going to dwell in you. So you will never be forsaken when the Holy Spirit comes. You know, if you want to see me on this earth, you have to go where I'm at or tell me where you're at so I can get there. But the Holy Spirit will always be living in you. Stand to your feet, please. Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, for the Christmas day that's coming. I thank you for the Word of God that so preciously have given us the first chapter in John to reveal something that's hard to see but not hard to believe. For the Holy Spirit who draws us to the Lamb of God, when we come in and get by the hurdle and go through the door by faith in Jesus Christ, because He said, I'm the door. And that's acknowledgement. Lord, we don't even walk through there in a way that we think, but it's something we did. We just acknowledge that God was right and we were wrong. And you birthed us into the family and gave us the Holy Spirit, the down payment, till you get us home. Heavenly Father, as we come to this season, let us realize every individual person that lives on this earth is the reason why Jesus came. He came to die the death that we might live with Him. God the Father had to turn His back on His Son as He extracted eternal death from Him on Calvary. Turn His back on His Son as He hung there, paying the sin debt, so He'd never have to turn His back on us who is His children. Oh, what manner of love that God has bestowed upon us to be called sons of God. If someone here today is not saved, help them see their need. If someone here today maybe got out of the traces and is celebrating Christmas in a way they should not, help them see it. Lord, you deserve more than we can ever give you this out of eternity. Help us be our best for you until we see your wonderful face. And we see Jesus, not a little baby in a manger. King of kings and Lord of lords, sitting on the throne of David, ruling and reigning. As you promised. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.